If you want to use the word gross, I suppose you could. If you want to say, ew, gross. But it's really inappropriate. No, it's way more inappropriate than my music yesterday. No, I think my music yesterday was very appropriate. I'm sorry that I even suspected it of being inappropriate. It was very appropriate. But, ew, gross. It doesn't even qualify as a, even a normal reaction to blood raining from heaven. That's never happened before. Blood raining down from heaven. And the hail as well. Let's read this passage again, and then we're going to revisit Exodus, and we're going to show you that there is a precedent for this. Even though that God is going to leapfrog over the precedent and do unprecedented things, but it's not like something like this has never happened, and we have no precedent to compare it to, because we do. I'm still here. Just trying to find the first trumpet. Okay, yeah, verse 7 of Revelation 8. And the first trumpets, and there came to be hail and fire mixed with blood, and it was cast into the earth. Well, we know hail doesn't come up from the ground. It doesn't appear out of nowhere. Hail comes from heaven, from the clouds. So that's how we know that the blood and the fire is also going to be coming down from the sky. So this is going to rain blood. You think that'll instill fear and horror into people, raining blood? And let's go to Exodus now. I was in Exodus 7 yesterday. Now I'm in Exodus chapter 9. Verse 18. I am raining about this time tomorrow. Raining, R-A-I-N. Talk about a weather forecast. This is God speaking. I am raining about this time tomorrow. He looks at his watch. About this time tomorrow, I'm going to rain. It's going to rain. What an understatement. Hail, very grievous, quoting now, verse 18, Exodus 9. Hail, very grievous, such as has not been in Egypt, even from the day of its being founded, even until now. So they knew what hail was. All peoples of earth know what hail is. Those who make their living via agriculture hate hail. It's the enemy. Destroys crops like the locusts. Oh, we're going to get to those. God. But that's not all that happened. Verse 19, and now send, strengthen your cattle and all that you have in your field. Every man and beast which is found in the field and is not gathered into the house, come down on them, has the hail, and they have died. Get your cattle out of the way. He was fearing the word of Jehovah among the servants of Pharaoh, has caused his servants and his cattle to flee into the houses. There was a warning. Just as there today, there's a warning. I'm putting out the warning. The warning has been in the book of the unveiling for 2,000 years. The warning is here. The Egyptians were warned, but they mocked it. They didn't heed the warnings. Pharaoh was told, I'm going to do some heavy duty stuff here. Let my people go. But he hardened his heart. God hardened his heart. Relatively, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Yeah, I saw Pharaoh harden his heart. Harden his heart. Wow, look at that. But who did it? God ultimately did it. That's another subject. God told Moses before Moses even went to Egypt, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. And people see verses that say, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. There's a contradiction in God's word. No, you're just looking at one through the knothole of the fence and another above the fence. Pharaoh just hardened his heart. Yeah, I know. I saw that. Did you see that? He looked really irritated and aggravated, and he was like, argh, and he decided not to let the people go. Yeah, that's interesting. He must have a free will. Oh, no. See, because Moses told me that before he even left to go to Egypt, God told him, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I bet there was a lot of that going on, too, when the rivers turned to blood and the people drank it first. Like, I wonder if this is any good. No, it's not. So, anyway... God. All right. Anyway, God's the one who made that happen. God is the one who actually hardened Pharaoh's heart, but you wouldn't have known that unless you had the inside scoop. And Jehovah said to Moses, stretch forth your hand toward the heavens, and there is hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and on beast, and on every herb in the field in the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod, verse 23, toward the heavens, and Jehovah has given voices and hail. Voices, that's always a nice touch to add voices out of heaven, add to the terror a little bit. And fire, listen to this, and fire goes toward the earth. And Jehovah rains hail on the land of Egypt. But listen to this. And there is hail, verse 24, and fire catching itself in the midst of the hail. I ain't making this up. This is verse 24 of Exodus 9. This happened before. Now, how in the world do you get frozen water coming out of heaven and you mix it with fire? Because one's cold and the other's hot. You do it because God is trying to make a point. And just as he tried to make a point with Elijah on Mount Carmel, when Elijah doused his altar with water, which is not the thing you want to do. You don't throw water on your campfire before you light your campfire. You do it when you want to put the campfire out. That's not God's way. No. God pours water on the campfire first. Then he says, light the campfire. What? Oh, my Lord. So that's how God does it. It's impressive that way. Not so impressive the other way. So, hail is coming down and fire. And don't ask me how this happens or anything like that, okay? And there's hail and fire catching itself in the midst of the hail. Very grievous, I would say so. Such as has not been in all the land of Egypt since it has become a nation. I would say, and the hail smites in all the land of Egypt, all that is in the field, from man even to beast, and every herb of the field. The hail is smitten and every tree it has broken. But you don't hear, this is the interesting part about this. And this is why I tell you that the unveiling takes it to the nth degree. Because you don't hear too much there in Exodus 9 about the fire burning stuff up. All you hear is that there was fire. Maybe it was just, you know, God practicing, showing that he can do it. As a harbinger, as a warning of what he will do. In the future, in the near future from our perspective. And there came to be hail, verse 7, Revelation 8 again, and fire mixed with blood. That's a new thing. All the elements were there in Egypt. The hail, the fire, and the blood. All the elements were there. The hail came down with the fire. The blood was restricted to the rivers. But now we're seeing this, the blood coming from the sky. And it's mixed with hail, which that sounds reasonable, but not fire. Fire does not fall from the sky. The only thing I can even think of that remotely even resembles this, which is absurd what I'm about to say, is the flames of fire that appeared over the disciples' heads, and apparently they were floating this fire. So God can suspend fire in the air. Of course he can. Look at the sun. That's a huge ball of fire, and it's sitting there. A giant ball of flames, like unto what the wicked witch of the west pitched at the straw man. And it's sitting there. So what's to keep God from sending flames, tongues of fire onto the earth? And this fire is going to burn the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up. And a third of the trees were burned up. And all green grass was burned up. All green grass. I have seen a wildfire in real life. When I lived in Colorado Springs, it was 2011. It was the, what was the name of that fire? It was the name of a canyon. I don't know. But we had to flee our building because this fire was on the hill. And I saw the helicopters coming down. And there were 200 homes destroyed, like in my neighborhood. And it was the closest I've ever come to anything like this. And you realize the power of fire. And you think, well, why don't they just put it out? You hear about these wildfires in California, and you hear about this absurd acreage that's destroyed, like 10,000 acres, and you can't even imagine that unless you're a fireman there, and you're in a helicopter or in an airplane dropping retardant on the flames, and they have to dig ditches in front of the fire to try to stop it. And you see the trees, the tops of the trees are in total flame. You're just spellbound. You're looking at it like, what? And this has never happened before. And you've never seen anything like it. I mean, you can look at YouTube as much as you want at the 2006 tsunami, or you can look at Hurricane Katrina, or you can look at these wildfires, and you think, how can such a thing get out of control? Just put it out. But it's such a vast scale. But that scale of the acreage we hear in the newscast, maybe 100 acres, 200,000 acres, whatever, is nothing compared to this. Because most of those wildfires are started by a bolt of lightning that comes and hits a certain patch of land. Or somebody like Smokey the Bear says, you know, what does Smokey the Bear say? Only you can prevent forest fires. Because people are out there lighting campfires. And a stray match can ignite an entire forest and burn it to the ground. A stray match. So what do you think is going to happen when hundreds of thousands, even millions of stray, quote, matches, unquote, are falling from heaven? I'll tell you what's going to happen. It says it right here, and I believe what God says. A third of the earth is going to burn up, and all the green grass is going to burn up. All the green grass. A third of the earth is going to be smoking. I mean, if you go to these places where there are wildfires, and this thing you just see is just an amazing sight. You can't believe it. It's like a war zone. It's like somebody's just bombed the entire area. I'm thinking of like Hiroshima after the atom bomb dropped. You see these isolated fires all over the place, and the earth is incinerated. And but you bring it out of heaven though upon the entire earth. And the amazing thing is the green grass is going to burn up. Now, it's very hard to burn grass. You can singe it, you can char it, but to burn it is un-freaking-leavable because it's low, you see, and the heat rises and these fireballs. That's why the tops of the trees are ignited, because the fire goes up, heat goes up, and so kaboom, all the trees are burning, but the grass is all green grass is gone. Can you imagine what it's going to look like? Well, if you want to try, go to the desert. Go to the Mojave Desert in Southern California. And you will see what happens when there's no water. Or go to, again, a forest that has just been decimated by a wildfire. And imagine that on a third of the earth. Imagine your neighborhood looking like that. I mean, people have gone through this, but it's been limited, like I said, limited. Even in Egypt, it was limited. We're looking at unlimited. This is Egypt times 1,000. To say that this is a localized destruction, that it's only Israel, come on. Give me a break. This is God making a point. And there are going to be thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of lit matches, or so it'll look like, coming down from heaven, combusting. What does the Exodus passage say? Catching itself in the midst of the hail. How the hell does that happen? Catching itself in the midst of the hail, coming out of nowhere, catching itself. A match doesn't catch itself. You have to strike it against something. That's why it says close, covered before striking. You strike it against coarse substance and it ignites. This is fire catching itself. Explain that to me, Martin. I can't. This is where you have to shut down your... I can't figure out how that could happen. Ridiculous machinations in your head, and just believe what God says. Because you can't figure out how it could happen doesn't mean God isn't going to do it. We are to be reasonable people, but we're not to sit here and go, well, how's that? I don't think that's going to happen, because we've never seen anything like that, and it's scientifically proven that fire doesn't catch itself. Well, this is a new thing. It's really an old thing, but it's a reworked old thing. And the effect will be, I don't know what adjective could be used to describe the effect. But again, this tells you, I keep pointing this out, this tells you what it's going to take to wake up this sleeping world. Fire and hail mixed with blood. And that's just the beginning.